I want our deacons that are going to come and share and serve you the supper. Gentlemen, would you all go ahead and make your way down front? And Brother Roy and Brother Lonnie, you guys prepare our table, if you do. And you guys can just have a seat right here in the front. And as they're doing this and preparing this, I want to direct your attention to the Scripture, to the very Word of God. And this morning, as we say, we're in Mark chapter 14, and I'm going to center on about four verses. And you all go ahead and uncover and get ready for that table. That's fine. And I hope you have your Bibles with me and you look in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to, in this series, stay in Mark 14, 15, and 16 in all of these messages. So we begin in verse 12. I want you to listen to these words. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, His disciples asked Jesus, where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover so you may eat it? So He sent two of His disciples and told them, go into the city, and a man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house that the teacher says, where is the guest room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished, already ready, make the preparations for us there. So the disciples went out and entered the city and found it just as they had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Now verse 17, listen. When the evening came, Jesus arrived there with the 12, and while they were reclining and eating, Jesus said, I assure you, one of you will betray me. One who's eating with me, he said. They began to be distressed and to say to him one by one, surely not I. And he said to him, it is one of the 12, the one who is dipping bread with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man will go out just as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not even been born. Wow. And then these verses are the verses I want us to focus on and center on, because Mark is the first gospel writer. He's the oldest of the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so he's our first gospel writer, the eyewitness for sure. And then it says this in verse 22, as they were eating. Now here is a Passover meal going on in the upper room. Jesus took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, and he said, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and so they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many. I assure you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in a new way in the kingdom of God. And then your memory scripture we shared for this morning. After singing psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Folks, the 12 men, Jesus, had gathered in that upper room. The upper room was usually, the rooms were flat, and the upper room was accessible by a set of stairs from the outside. And it was a big room, usually kept furnished for guests. It was used for banquets, it was used for whatever. And not many houses had that upper room. But those who did usually were very wealthy, entertained a lot of guests. And that's why Jesus sent his disciples before him to prepare the way. So these men now are climbing these steps, this ladder, however you want to say, to get to this upper room. It wasn't accessible by elevator. It wasn't accessible even by a staircase from the inside. It came from the outside. And these 12 have now gathered in this place. And folks, what they are about to experience is the first Lord's Supper. Now, this was a Seder meal. It was a meal designed from the Old Testament to remember the freedom from Egyptian bondage at the hand of Pharaoh. It was the Passover. Remember the story of the Passover. And the angel had passed over the post and lintel of the home. And if blood of that unblemished lamb was not put on the post and lintel of that house, then the firstborn in that home was killed. If you go back and read in the Old Testament and the story of the Passover. But if the blood, that pure blood, was put upon the post and the lintel of that door, then that Passover angel did what? Passed over, hence Passover. It was a constant reminder of the freedom that the Egyptian people, the children of God, literally experienced in freedom from bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt. And so these men come together. Normal Seder meal. Been going on for centuries. Why should this one be different? But folks, before they left there that night, the Seder meal would be forever changed to the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Supper because it is God who initiated it. Now, we have other names for it. We call it communion. We call it whatever. But it's the Lord's Supper. Our Roman Catholic folks in sacramental theology refer to it as the Eucharist. Eucharist is simply a Greek word that means to give thanks, the Thanksgiving meal. But Jesus completely changed that. It's no longer a Seder. It's no longer a Passover meal for the believer. For the believer, it's the Lord's Supper. And this was the first one. So there are four things that happened in this meal. And let me just tell you briefly, because we're going to experience them together as these men serve you in just a minute. And in so doing, folks, and we understand and we see this, it's very interesting to me that Mark really centers on two events here. He makes his focus on talking about Judas, the betrayer. He wants the people to realize that there's a man around that table that is going to be a betrayer, and it will be better if that man had never, ever been born. And he says, how will you recognize him? The man who's dipping with me in the bowl. Now, I know we picture the Lord's Supper much like Leonardo da Vinci depicted it on canvas. Beautiful picture. That's done from a Roman Catholic background. Most probably, if not factually, Jesus would have never sat in the center of the table. He set the host in the Seder meal always sits closest to the door. Why? Because the host greets their guest when they come in the door. And the table is exactly as you've heard. It was reclining. You were lying, reclining on the floor. It was a small area. It wasn't a table like we go to eat at places in this day and time. You were reclining, and that's what the men were. The Seder meal had four cups. Two of those cups were following the meal. Two of them were in the actual Seder experience together. And it's these two cups, in particular the third cup, where Jesus says, and as they were eating. So now they're doing the Seder meal. They are taking these elements. And now Jesus is fixing to change things forever. And I mean forever. For eternally. No more Seder for the believer. No more Passover meal. Because now Jesus is going to replace the Passover lamb. He is going to die. He had talked to his disciples about this. He had told them. They were confused. They didn't understand it. And now they have climbed the steps. They've gotten in that upper room. And here is these men listening to the words of Jesus. And the first thing that happened, and I've got this for your outline, it's very simple. Jesus took what? The bread. He took the bread. And the Bible says literally when he took that bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat this. In a minute, these guys are going to serve you these elements. And first, we're going to take the bread. And that first bread is the matzah. It's used in a Seder meal to this day. There is no yeast. There's really no flavor, as you'll find out in just a minute. But it gives you that bitter taste. It reminded the Jewish folks then of the bitter part of slavery in Egypt. But Jesus says what he did in the middle of that meal, which was proper in the Seder for the host to do this, he stood up and he took that bread that was crisp, you know, and he broke it, just like that. And he looked at those men and he said, take. Now, if I say to you, any of you in this house, take, what's the next response from you? You're going to get it. Now, okay, let's just say that I go down here, and don't worry, the bread I just broke and the hands that are about to do this, this won't be in the same bread you're about to eat, okay? So just want you to know that with water. So if I give this to Houghton, and what Houghton have to do, he had to reach out and get it. Now, one thing the word take means is this. Take means I'm not going back there and get that piece of bread. So when Jesus gave the meal and he took bread, he gave Houghton that bread, and he says, Houghton, I don't want it back. Why didn't Jesus want it back? Because the covenant is about to be sealed with the blood of Jesus on the cross. See? So he took the bread and he gave it. I'll take that back from you too. So, and I won't put it in the pot, that's for sure. But not only did Jesus take the bread, in the second place, what did Jesus do? He took the what? Okay. There were four cups in the Seder meal, two of which are at the close of the meal. That's why the Scriptures say, and after supper, he took the cup. This cup, the fourth cup was the cup of praise. They sang the Hallel. It's a Greek, a Hebrew word that means thanksgiving. They sang praises to God, which that's what we're going to do when we close this service. We're going to sing praises to God. A little song's called Alleluia. Just like they had a hymn sing. I love this, you know. But Jesus took that cup, that third cup. That third cup in the Jewish Seder is called the cup of redemption. Now, what they expected Jesus to say was that he would refer back to the Old Testament, he would refer back to the Passover, but Jesus didn't do that. They had probably a goblet, a cup, one. And for health reasons and sanitary reasons in this day and time, we use individual cups as well. But he held up that cup, and what he was supposed to say was to refer back to the Passover. That's what the Seder meal, that's what you did. But Jesus didn't even stick by the script, folks. He picked up the cup and he said, this is my blood. I can just hear those men. Every one of them did that. They were blown away. Here's what happened. Jesus is now changing that Seder meal into the first Lord's Supper. So this morning, we are participating in what? The Lord's Supper. In the Southern Baptist Church, we have two ordinances. That word ordinance simply means a law, means command. One of them is the Scripture teaches us in the Great Commission. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is one of those ordinances. We do not believe it's a sacrament. We do not believe that the Bible teaches you have to do this in order to be saved. However, I believe if a person is physically able, they need to be baptized. Why? Jesus was baptized to be buried together with Christ in his death, to rise to walk in newness of life with him. Then a baptized believer has another privilege, to participate in the supper, the Lord's Supper. And you know, I know we refer to it as communion and all that. This is really not communion, folks. This is the Lord's Supper. And so Jesus took the cup and he took the bread. Wow. And he took it with the understanding that, hey, I don't want it back. It's something that I am giving to you. And he told them what the cup was. And then there's a third thing that happened in this meal I want to show you. Jesus did what? He revealed a glorious promise. He revealed a glorious promise. He says, I assure you, in verse 25, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Thank God he's preparing a place for us who know him. And he started building that when you and I intentionally invited Jesus Christ into our life. And one day, folks, one day there is going to be one great reunion day in heaven. As a believer, you've been invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb, and the table is being set even as we speak today, I believe, in heaven. And one day God is going to say to Jesus Christ, go back, get your bride, the church. And when he does, nothing in heaven or nothing in hell will prevent the Lord Jesus from coming and taking his church out of this world. He's got a glorious promise for us, and the Bible says he's coming back to get us, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, I'm so glad this is just training ground down here. You know, and ever since the choir, once again, I'd known this scripture in 2 Timothy and read it over and over, Doug, and what we sang about 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. And to stop and think about that, if you look at that, God is not time conscious. He's not stuck in a 24-hour thinking plan like you and I are. That means Jesus was only born a few seconds ago. And bless God, that means he's coming back in a few seconds. That excites me. I'm ready to go, you know. And now when we come to this table, what do? The Bible says you proclaim the Lord's death. When? How long? Until he what? Until he comes. Okay, he revealed the glory of his Father. There's a fourth thing I want to tell you. I love this one. Doug would get a kick at it too. Jesus led to him. Jesus became a minister of music. And you know, I've read that, and I think, and they sang a hymn and went out. The host led the Seder meal. Okay? Who was the host? Jesus. Who led the singing? I am convinced. He stood up and said, let's sing. And those 11 men, now 11, Judas is gone, 11 men, stood up with Jesus. Can you imagine the high and holy moment those guys had in that upper room when they started singing? Even though it was bittersweet, even though Jesus had just changed this meal now to the Lord's Supper, wow. The singing was the hallel. It was in the Psalms. It was the Psalms of praise. It was music of praise. And in just a few minutes when we close, we're going to sing the hallel in a different way by just singing that beautiful little chorus as we close. Hallelujah. So why do I say all this? It's because when you look at the table through the eyes of the empty tomb, you have to see the Lord's Supper, not a Seder. The Lord's Supper and how the Lord Jesus changed that. Now, what is our task once we partake? Is there anything saving? Is there anything miracle working out of partaking of this bread and this grape juice? No. But there's everything spiritual that takes place. First of all, you're being obedient to the Lord. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And in so doing, you are proclaiming to this world, and our task now is to walk out of here to our Mount of Olives. Remember what the guys did? They sang a hymn, and where did they go? What the Bible says? And they went out to where? The Mount of Olives. What is significant of the Mount of Olives? Remember, what happened to Jesus? What did he do at the Mount of Olives? He prayed. They finished the meal, and they went out to our Mount of Olives. In just a few seconds, in a few minutes, we're going to finish this meal. And I know we're going to have our church conference after that, but then we're going to leave and go our separate ways. That's our Mount of Olives, folks, out there. And God says, when we go out our Mount of Olives, what did the men put as priority in their Mount of Olives? Prayer. Jesus went alone to pray right after that. And the men prayed beside him, as you know that story. So this morning, focus on the fact that God has brought his table to us. I gave you some information of Psalm 51 last week. If you've got a chance to read that and look through it, and to prepare that in your own life as we come to this table. Because the Bible says to be sure you are ready in your own life. That you know the Lord Jesus. That you believe what he said and you've invited him into your life. And now he's inviting you to come to this table. And as these men come and they give you these elements in just a minute, will you just sit there as you hold that little piece of bread and that cup in your hand and realize the first Lord's Supper was in an upper room. And the modern day Jew to this day, especially Messianic Jew, will say next time in Jerusalem. In other words, maybe the next time we celebrate this, we'll be home in heaven. Could be. Because that's the promise of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Pray with me, would you? Father, we come to this table. Father, all of us come to this table with the baggage of this last week and even these last few weeks and months and years, perhaps. But Father, I thank You that if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. And not only that, Father, not only forgiveness, You clean it up, never to be remembered again. So, Lord, maybe this moment right now be a time of just confession. A time of confessing to You so that we continue to prepare our hearts to receive what these deacons are going to serve the members in this church. That first Lord's Supper. Thank You, Father. I pray in Jesus' name.